Jeremy, Katie, and Josh.
Mix 100.
I've been sitting here for the past 15 minutes or so, listening to Katie talk about how her air fryer's not working and contemplating slitting my wrists.
I know. What do you mean? That's a big deal.
Something going on there.
I use my air fryer almost every single day.
She's still going.
Here we go.
She just said this, actually.
I had to turn my oven on, and it was hot.
Now you're going to make everyone else slit their wrists.
I don't know if you've had to go back to the old-fashioned days when you use your oven, but it is sad.
The conventional oven.
First of all, problems right here, guys. I had to use my oven yesterday.
And I'm still sad about that air fryer.
Hot.
I feel like I should have a service for it or something.
The air fryer door wasn't closing.
I use it every day, Jeremy.
Hashtag Katie problems.
Oh, come on.
I just had a day yesterday.
I did. I really did.
And I made something and I didn't like the way it tasted. In my air fryer's doors weren't closing.
Are you just making fun of me or are you giving me permission to vent a little? Because that really happened. Like, I put so much work
I'll
into
let Josh
that meal.
Decide.
Like,
I mean,
No, but you would have to agree. When you make something,
didn't give you permission.
I'm going to do it anyway.
No, you know what? Go
when
for it,
you
Katie Cat. We love you.
Make something and it takes you hours to create it. And then when it's finally time to eat it and you take that first bite and you're all. Meh.
No,
like,
that sucks. Yeah.
Not a good feel. And then my air fryer broke on top of that.
Oh, Lord, no.
Did you break it? Like, did you do something distinctive to break it? Or
I just use it every day. I think that's it. I think I've just kind of used it so much. It's on its last leg. But what it does is when I close it, the thing, the face tells me that it's still open. And the only way that it'll actually work is if I open it just a little bit so it's venting and then it'll come on and, you know, do the full on power. I'm like, that can't be safe.
No. Is this one of the things that you're too rough with it when you close it? Like how you broke your fan because you're still a little rough about things?
Maybe, because then to fix it, my thing to fix it was I'm just going to slam that door right into it.
Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it.
What were you trying to make?
What were you making in there?
I was putting my chicken kebabs in there.
Oh, chicken kebabs.
Well, first I was trying to roast my red peppers in there because you can roast your red peppers or your peppers, your vegetables in an air fryer. And that's when I noticed that it wasn't closing all the way. So then I had to take both my peppers and my kebabs and put them in the oven. It was hot.
Lord.
Day. I had to put that fan on that I broke, Josh. Like,
did you know that, believe it or not, I used my oven yesterday, too, and
it was
fine.
Hot. No, it was
it
so
was
hot,
fine.
Huh?
I made chicken and broccoli.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how you dealt with it. The heat wave of the century.
I closed the door and I walked away. Pretty simple. I was reading this morning. Maybe I'm late to the party on this. But the Rockies have accidentally created one of the funniest sports traditions in baseball this season. It is a giant purple home run coat that players wear after hitting homers. And it kind of started as a random clubhouse joke, and now it's become a full-blown fan obsession.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this coat. It looks like a big, like... fur coat.
Yeah.
Looks like they killed Barney.
Yeah, like a big fancy ritzy jacket, and it's purple. And when these dudes hit the home runs, they throw it on. And it's really funny looking.
It's the
really
coat of
funny.
Honor.
Is that what it is? That's what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the team treats this thing like a sacred artifact. It's traveling with the team. It has its own equipment bag. And clubhouse staff are carefully maintaining it like it's a museum piece. Because it's bringing some sort of fun sports energy to Colorado baseball this year.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
They look good, too, when they rock it.
They do. And, you know, sports in general, there's so many superstitions that come with sports. And this, I mean, baseball is full of superstition. So I like it. I like that they can, you know, rally the fans with something other than their play.
It's goofy. It's kind of an inside joke, and the fans are loving it.
It's fun.
I love it, too. I saw the pictures. It looks really funny. What else is going on in sports?
Well, moving on from the MLB to college baseball, it's their playoff time right now. And, Katie, like you just said, baseball players are probably the most superstitious group out of all the big four sports teams. Well, UCLA freshman pitcher has gone completely viral, not necessarily even for his pitching, but what he does before he pitches. They noticed that UCLA freshman pitcher Angel Cervantes kept digging in his back pocket before he went to go pitch, and then he would put something on the mound, and it turns out it was a little baby dinosaur.
Oh! Whoa.
You might notice he has a little dinosaur with him on the mound. His name is actually Jerry the Dinosaur, and Angel keeps him in his back pocket, and Jerry will join him in every single time he's pitching on the mound. Just a sense of comfort that he's developed, maybe a little bit of a superstition, but Jerry's always along for the ride, guys.
So one of those things, it looks weird, right? It looks weird that he's going out and reaching in his back pocket for a little baby dinosaur, but he says he's been doing it since high school. It's just because he's a freshman pitcher that people haven't really gotten to know him and see what he does yet. And he's like, look, it just brings me a sense of peace. He says, he calms me down. I know it might sound, I guess, childish, but I mean, whatever works for you, and that's what works for me. And there is actually some science about this. There have been studies shown where if you bring a good luck charm with you, whether it's, you know, a placebo effect or whatever, it helps you perform better. He has that little comfort blanket, if you will,
yeah.
And he holds on to it, and it really does. He held the opponent to 5 scoreless innings, and so it said people that were able to bring their good luck charms with them, they were able to perform at a higher standard than
people that
didn't.
All right.
I just love that little dino's name is Jerry.
Little Jerry the butt dinosaur.
Yes.
He's a little triceratops. Jerry.
Jurassic Jerry.
Oh, that's
Jurassic
love
Jerry.
It.
That's adorbs.
That's so cute.
BTS is the latest artist to get their own limited edition Oreos. They're coming to stores on June 8th. They're purple. That seems natural.
Yeah.
With a brown sugar pancake flavored cream inside, inspired by a popular Korean street food called hotok.
Okay.
Katie, you're big on street food.
You
know what a hotok is?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know it's got to be tasty. Korean street food.
It sounds like a dating platform that you might be on. It's not TikTok, it's hotok.
Oh, gosh. No. Hey.
That was really good.
No, it wasn't, Josh.
Coming in with jokes. Speaking of TikTok, there's a woman named Naira, and she's gone viral because she posted this big, long video about a frozen yogurt place. But, girl, you are late to the party. I have complained about this for years on this show. She went in. The entire place was a self-service experience from start to finish.
Yeah.
You go in, and this is exactly what I laid out on the show. You grab your own cup. You fill the ice cream or the frozen yogurt up yourself. You wander over, and you put your own toppings. She waited in line. Now, I will say at this one, there was a kiosk that they just weigh it and then you pay it right there. And then it asked for a tip.
A tip for who?
That's what I'm saying. So she went off on this video and people are on both sides. They're like, well, there's still somebody there stocking the condiments, the
tipped
toppings.
No.
Stocking the new ice cream in the back for the machines.
This tipping culture has gotten out of hand. So, like, you don't get a
tip
for that.
No.
Come on.
And my thing was I went into one of those places, got my own cup, got my own ice cream, got my own toppings, weighed myself at the register, and the teenager was like, $4 or whatever it was. And then it was like, tip. I was like, hell's to the no. You didn't do anything.
And it upsets me because I worked for tips at one point in my life as a, you know, waiting tables. And I made $2.15 an hour, which is why I needed tips. Yeah. Now, that doesn't happen like that. Like,
well, unless you're on hotok.
Like,
she'll work for tips on hotok.
Stop. That was a living wage. That wasn't even a tip.
All right, here's one final thing. I got to tread lightly on this. A woman named Monique out of Michigan. She's 48 years old. She's facing charges for attempting to smuggle contraband into a correctional facility. Here's what happens. She's been trespassing at a CVS pharmacy where she had previously been banned from. So she can't go in there, but she keeps making her way back in. And the problem is they got a wine section there. So she'll go in there, steal the wine, go into the bathroom, and chug it at the CVS. They said, don't ever come back. Well, she returned the next day, stole another bottle and was getting drunk, blah, blah, blah. Cops came, took her to the jail. The corrections staff was booking her. And, you know, when they do that, they have to do, like, a routine search on you.
Yeah, the cavity search.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, let's just say they found another bottle of wine.
No, they didn't.
Bottle?
Another bottle of wine.
Like the mini bottle or the full-on bottle?
A bottle of wine.
What?
That Monique had snuck into the correctional facility.
Oh, Monique.
And I will let you use your imagination on how she got that in.
I don't want to.
I am impressed.
My mouth's open.
I am impressed.
Wow, Monique.
But I would hate to be her boyfriend.
Hey, she's on Hotaku.
I do not want to be her boyfriend.
Man. What? That's wild.
Yeah, somebody's been doing her Kegels.
Yeah,
all right,
not.
Katie.
Okay. We're not, yeah.
What you got going on locally?
Let's start it up in Windsor, huh? It is an underwear desert, in case you didn't
what
know.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, the people of Windsor are like, hold up. The town leaders say that Windsor is an underwear desert as residents do not have a local place to buy many everyday essentials like socks, underwear, and school supplies. Yeah.
She snuck the bottle in where?
Exactly. This lady that you heard right there, she's actually talking about how many people have to travel like 15 to 20 minutes for those things, those essential things. So folks in the town are, you know, having a hard time with that. They're like, we need to build things. We need more places where we can buy these things.
They need a Target.
They need a Target. They need a Walmart. But other folks in the town are okay with it. They like that their town of 50,000 people is a little small town idealist, right?
I like that too.
Exactly.
I want to live there.
So there's a lot of people who are like, we don't want all that in our town. We're okay with driving 15 to 20 miles, but some of the town leaders are like calling it an underwear desert, and that is why it's
making. Just get on the Zon, right?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are saying.
2-day
like,
shipping.
And nowadays, you don't really need that brick and mortar spot right there in your town. So they're trying to get around it. So there you go.
You could have drone delivery with your underpants probably at some point.
You get just drones right to your door.
Drones.
Exactly. So that's the latest.
Draws right to your draw.
Windsor. Down in Colorado Springs, we have the story about Santa's workshop. Hey, they're celebrating their 70th season.
70 years?
70
God, we were just down there a couple years ago with my kids and my nieces and nephews and everyone else.
Yes, the family.
Mostly nephews.
The family. And it always opens like the week of Memorial Day, and then it'll stay open through Christmas down in the Colorado Springs area.
That place still looks good. After 70 years, it is very well maintained. It is not janky. It is in great condition, and it is delightful and charming.
Yeah. No, people rave about Santa's workshop. So they say you can explore the charming snow-dusted village, Jeremy, that they keep up. You can watch holiday magic shows. Yeah.
You can
feed the deer.
Feed deer and see Santa.
See Santa. Ride the carousel. And as you said, visit Mr. Claus himself. So there you go. And again, the 70th season. That's a big deal for the folks down there.
Oh, that place is charming.
At
That's
Santa's
good.
Workshop.
Good for them.
Of course, it is just the, you know, the arm, or I guess the
you're right over there.
Well, because we have the Santa's workshop up in the North Pole that's been going on for forever, right? This is just like
This is
the branch
of it,
of the North Pole workshop.
Yes.
Oh,
so
God.
That's what I just wanted to.
They got a pole there too that you touch that it's like frozen all the time.
Yeah, really? Because it's Santa's magic.
It's the North Pole.
Yeah. I love Santa's magic. Okay, and then we have this incident in Aurora yesterday. Crazy, because cops received a bunch of calls about a person wandering into traffic, waving their arms and holding onto a gun tucked into the waistband of their pants. What? Exactly. This was right around Colfax and Billings Street. So what the cops did is they looked at the cameras before they went down there just to make sure the situation was as they thought. And they realized it wasn't as dire as they originally suspected. So it turns out it was a woman with binoculars on Colfax. And I took this part right from the news story because it made me laugh so hard. They said after analyzing the scene, officers still went to the area and spoke with the woman, sharing laughs about the actual circumstances versus what was this? They shared laughs. They shared laughs, Jeremy. The officers did advise the woman to carry the binoculars in her bag rather than her waistband. So,
if you're that lady from Michigan, I'll tell you where you can put them.
I know.
Is that all you got?
That would avoid any confusion, Jeremy.